Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
I think it's really remarkable if you look at the breadth of this particular piece of legislation. It is the strongest anti-rioting, pro-law enforcement piece of legislation in the country. And there's just nothing even close.
Folks, Governor DeSantis has done it again. As businesses and citizens flee states like Oregon and Chicago and Illinois and New York, they come to Florida to the tune of over 900 every single day. But we'll make sure and make it loud and clear that we will put the citizens' safety in Florida first. We watch cities like Portland and New York and Seattle burn to the ground because politicians turn their backs on law enforcement. Luckily, we have a different approach here in Florida. From the Portlands of the world to the Chicagos of the world, we love and appreciate our law enforcement community.
Chief Financial Officer for the state of Florida, Jimmy Patronis, and potential gubernatorial candidate, we'll see. Also rumored as maybe, I think he would be eligible to run for CD1 if Matt Gaetz winds up leaving office, either to run for something else or for, you know, some Newsmax site or because of whatever turns up with the investigation. Maybe just a side note on that. Before that, of course, Governor DeSantis announcing the signing of HB1, what he called the strongest anti-riot bill in the country. I agree with him about that. I strongly support this bill, though I do have some concerns about the way it might be enforced disparately or how it might have a chilling effect on protest speech. I do have that concern, but I generally think the provisions of this bill make good sense, such as it prevents defunding the police by municipalities. It would make municipalities liable to civil suit if you have property damage during a riot in which they ordered the police to stand down. That's good. They would lose their sovereign immunity in that situation. You can't shut down roads anymore. That qualifies as a violation, and it should. And it even gives you an affirmative defense if you wind up engaging in self-defense against rioters who are threatening to harm you. And, you know, it's amazing when you look at some of the videos you've seen of the so-called peaceful protesters trying to stop cars, pushing, kicking, hitting, beating, destroying windows. Oh, yeah, it's just peaceful protest. No, it's kidnapping on a public right-of-way. And if you then drive through the crowd, that's on you. Now, if somebody comes at the crowd from a distance, that's a different situation. But, you know, they stop and you surround the car and you're pushing and rocking the car. I'm sorry, but you're trying to kidnap somebody on a public street. And that's a no-go. I'm glad to see this law go into effect that way. Also, no more mob intimidation in, you know, restaurants and things like that. No more destroying of monuments. If you want to take down a monument, do it through a process. We're a country of laws or a state of laws, not a state of mob rule, you know. We're not going to be tearing down these things in the middle of the night or the middle of the day just because you got enough people. It ends catch and release for rioters, that they cannot just return back to the scene of the riot and go again and again and again. And basically what this is doing is this is showing that people in the state of Florida, we love you, support you, and we're glad that you're here. Now, Grady Judd, I will, again, just to be clear, I do have concerns. My one concern is going to be that this gets overused and people get charged for things that they really shouldn't be charged with. Okay, that's a concern. We'll have to wait and see how it plays out. And my other concern is that it has a chilling effect on protest by people being concerned that they would be arrested or charged under the act when they really shouldn't be. And that will be a harder one to observe because you'd have to discover the protest that didn't take place. But that's also one that I'm, you know, we're going to kind of pay attention and see how this goes. Grady Judge, Polk County Sheriff, was there yesterday at the big signing.
I want to make sure everybody knows this is a peaceful protest. We encourage it.
Showing a picture.
It's the foundation of our country.
From the 60s.
And we want people to peacefully protest when they feel the need. This is a riot. And this will get you locked up before quick in the state of Florida. Pay attention. We've got new law. and we're going to use it if you make us.
Yeah, and the side-by-side, Grady Judd is one for, I mean, he gets media. You know, he's always good for a quote. He's always good for a juicy quote, and even a prop to show the point, right?
We're going to protect the people. No longer will people walk up and surround you as a citizen of Florida or a visitor of Florida, surround you while you're eating dinner at an outdoor cafe in a big mob without there being immediate consequences and arrest. It's not acceptable.
Yeah, and, you know, Florida has done great through the pandemic. Everybody's had their mistakes, certainly. But we are an amazing place, and basically this is an effort to kind of protect and preserve us as the not Portland, you know, not Illinois, Chicago, not New York City.
This is the Florida we know and love. We're a special place. And there are millions and millions of people who like to come here. And quite frankly, we like to have them here. So we only want to share one thing as you move in hundreds a day. Welcome to Florida. But don't register to vote and vote the stupid way you did up north. You'll get what they got.
This is such an obvious thing, and yet, do you really think? I mean, I'm really trying to put myself in the mindset of somebody who moves here from New Jersey. Come election time, do you think they will have enough self-awareness to say to themselves, you know, I've always voted Democrat in the past, but I did move here because of the success they've had as a Republican-led state. You know, maybe I'll sit this one out. Or, you know, maybe I've been wrong all this time. I'll go ahead and vote for the I'd like to believe people will do that. I don't believe people will do that, unfortunately. 437-1620, 437-1620. By the way, the governor, big show of signing HB1 yesterday. Lots of law enforcement surrounding him. Big display. He also signed another bill yesterday. One that will affect everything you buy online. I'll tell you about that in a moment. That's not so much fanfare with this one. It's an important bill, but I'll tell you about the implications of that coming up in a moment. In the meantime... I mentioned, of course, HB1 that was signed yesterday. That one's gotten a lot of attention. The bill that didn't get much attention when it slid through the legislature pretty rapidly in the Senate on an overwhelming majority vote of 27-12, and in the House 93-24, is the bill that also was signed yesterday. Signed because if he didn't sign it, it would go into law essentially for, you know, the time was up. SB 50. Davis, have you heard SB 50? Have we talked about SB 50?
No clue.
No, SB 50. No attention whatsoever. Do you ever buy stuff online?
As of yesterday, yeah, most recently.
Did the person or the entity shipping it to you ship from out of state?
Actually, I think like Georgia.
Yeah. Did you pay sales tax on it?
Yes.
Really? Hmm. Interesting.
Normal tax.
You're not required to. Or at least it's not obvious that you're required to.
Unless this was a shipping tax. I didn't really pay attention. I just knew there was taxes.
You know what happens on July 1st, though?
What happens?
You pay sales tax. State of Florida signed into law SB 50 that will now require internet. There's a lot of technical terminology here, but the short version of this is that all internet sales are now going to be required to collect Florida sales tax if they come here from somewhere else. So you can't get it cheaper out of state just by avoiding the sales tax. It's a small enough thing. It's only going to raise $1 billion for the state of Florida. $1 billion. So it is a tax increase. The Republicans signed into law a $1 billion tax increase. On the other hand, it's fair because... why should local retailers in Florida have to compete against no sales tax assessing out-of-state shippers, right? I mean, as a fairness matter, it makes perfect sense. But, oh, no doubt, the Democrats are all over the Republicans on this being a big tax increase, and it is a tax increase. But will it benefit Florida businesses and help them to be able to compete in the marketplace against the internet? Sure. The question is, what will the voters think about that, right? And by the way, the money is going to go into a an unemployment trust fund that then will be allowed to reduce commercial rent tax. So it'll be doubly beneficial for Florida businesses, not just creating an even playing field, but actually spooling back some of the costs that they've been bearing on commercial rents. So we'll see how the politics of this plays out. 723 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Again, so if you're going to buy something big on the internet and you want to avoid the sales tax, I guess do it before July 1st. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Facebook taking action as deliberations in the trial of former Minneapolis cop Derek Chauvin enter day two. Social media giant says the city is high risk and they're removing all content that calls for violence in the area. CDC says COVID vaccines are working despite some breakthrough infections. Out of 85 million people fully protected, fewer than 6,000 have gotten coronavirus after their second shot. Of those, about 30% showed no symptoms.
Call my friends and tell them there's a party. Come on by.
Yeah, Willie Nelson's inaugural weed convention kicking off today. It's called the Lux Summit Planting the Seed, the goal to promote cannabis culture. The event's part of what Willie calls High Holidays, the week that starts with the annual marijuana holiday on 420 and ends with his birthday on 429.
So 9 days of
9 days
stupor.
There you go.
9 days of stupor. Okay. All right. I had done my very best to not mention that it was 420 all day today. Yeah, well. And yet here we are. So thanks a lot, Mark.
Oh.
And it's only a coincidence that my 9 day vacation starts after this show.
Is it really?
It's just a coincidence.
Where is this Lux Summit being held, Davis?
Nicely played, Davis. 725 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives. You sure you're okay to go ahead and give it?
I'm yeah, man.
You want another pass at that one?
I know. I was not ready.
I'll give you.
Yeah, man.
Go ahead.
We're stereotyping like crazy. All right, driving northbound Garcon Point Bridge. Yes, I'm fine to do it, by the way. Driving northbound Garcon Point Bridge. It is slow moving, stretching from 98 all the way through the toll plaza. Once you're through the toll plaza, it does check and clear up to I-10. Southbound, by the way, on Avalon and Garcon, still showing no delays. Gulf Breeze Parkway, I'm seeing some buildup now on eastbound Gulf Breeze Parkway, backed up around the Penn Air Credit Union. The front gate of NAS Pensacola, as well as the back gate, both flowing smoothly, and still seeing some slight delays southbound Highway 29 between 9 Mile and I-10. Pine Forest, though, is checking in clear. This report, it's brought to you by ECWA's Recycle Coach app. It includes recycling do's and don'ts, sanitation collection reminders. You can report a problem and a lot more. Download it today. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So you got into business to do your thing, right? And you love doing your thing, and solving problems is your thing, whether it's medical or legal or construction or IT or HVAC, whatever it is that you do, okay? You do your thing. That's good. Do you love figuring out insurance benefits for your employees? You know, I know the answer. Of course, nobody does. Now, if you do, that's great. Wonderful for you. You're a little strange, but that's okay. But if you don't love that stuff and you don't love the time that it takes away from trying to figure out the stuff you are good at and solving the problems you like to solve, call Targus and Causey. This is what they do. And they kind of love it. I mean, they're weird. Okay, it's all right. They love it. But their passion for something that you don't like is your benefit because they can take it off your plate. They can bring your employees options. They can give you options. They can simplify the process and just, you know, make it easier and get you into a better place. That's the idea. So 20 years serving local businesses, solving these issues for them. Give them a call for a no-obligation review at 433-9996 or Torgerson and Causey online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Governor DeSantis signed HB1 today, the anti-riot legislation. Your thoughts on what that might mean for us?
I mean, we'll figure all that out as we go forward. And soon we'll get all our decisions from Tallahassee. We won't run anything here anymore. We'll figure out where we go from there, and we'll look for them to tell us what we did.
How does the mayor feel about Tallahassee? Pretty soon they'll tell us everything that we're doing. Won't even bother needing to have a city or a county. We'll just have the great state of Florida, where Tallahassee will make all of our decisions for us. I'm not sure this one fits that category, but you know, I understand where he's coming from. It does feel like left, right, and center, Tallahassee is preempting everything they possibly could. And, you know, as he says, we'll kind of see how this all plays out. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, by the way, he did have an interesting thing to say about the bridge yesterday.
The bridge tour that I had the opportunity to go on, we had a chance to drive all the way almost to Gulf Breeze. So the bridge is drivable, and certainly as soon as that last span gets done, the trophy was in. They had one beam in. When I saw it, I know over the weekend, I think they're putting more beams in. I saw them on Saturday, even in the rain, putting trophies up on the four-lane portion. I know they're working on that. But I got to tell you, it certainly, they felt good, and the conversations we had with Secretary Gaynor felt very good about the two-lane making the May 31st.
So, again, which I think, you know, we've Charlie Browned this thing before, but again, the words are all in the same line that at least by May 31st, we'll have two lanes and four lanes shortly thereafter, if not by that time as well. Fingers crossed. Let's hope it's right.
I'm Jennifer Kishinko with Your Money Now. Production of J&J's COVID vaccine at manufacturing plant in Baltimore has been halted by the FDA while the agency investigates an error that led to millions of doses being ruined last month. Emergent BioSolution, the company that owns and runs the plant, says the FDA requested a pause in production of new drug substance for the shot pending completion of the inspection. Many of us may be suffering from virtual event fatigue after a year of video calls, but not Apple, which plans new product announcements at what seems likely to be an iPhone-less event today. Analysts expect new iPads and likely new color versions of the iMac. The company could also show off something called AirTags, which look to be coin-sized tracking devices you can stick on stuff you don't want to lose. The original principal cast of Downton Abbey returning for a second film that will arrive in theaters December 22nd. Hugh Bonneville, Michelle Dockery, and 86-year-old Maggie Smith will all be back along with some new faces. That's Your Money Now.
There's no way that four people in the middle of the day can get out in a crowded apartment complex, fire 40 rounds, get back in the car, and then leave, and no one knows anything. We know that's not the case, so we're asking for your help. We cannot allow this to happen. This is not the type of community we're going to live in. This is not the type of thing that we're going to tolerate.
So that's Sheriff Simmons at a press conference just last Friday. Of course, he's on the line with us right now. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, welcome back to the show, sir. What have your investigators who have been out actively working this Oakwood terrorist shooting case since Thursday, what have they discovered at this point?
Well, as you can imagine, from the very moment that it happened, we had what I'll call a tremendous response from the sheriff's office, but we're also assisted heavily by state agencies, the Florida Highway Patrol and Game and Fish were there as well. We have worked throughout the weekend. We do have some people of interest. We put out a photograph of two individuals, and we're asking if anyone knows who they are, but not just who they are, because if you know them, you may have seen them that afternoon or that day. So we're trying to piece together what those two were doing, which would have been just prior to the shooting, and we're asking for more people to get information. We do have some leads. We also put out a third person who was yesterday, Roderick Skinner, and he is also a person of interest, but we want to just question him. So there are three people right now that we have identified. They may have some knowledge as to the shooting, and two of them we have not yet positively identified, although we do, again, have some leads. And then the third one, we know his name. We put that out yesterday, and we're asking that people give us the information.
Look, it's a horrible thing, and to take place in the middle of a public area in basically broad daylight, you know, toward the evening, it's awful. And to hear you talk about it last Friday, it was awful to think about. Have you been able to identify even, like, who was the target? Was the target even there? Have you gotten to that point in the investigation, or are you still trying to figure that stuff out?
No, I think, again, our investigators are doing a really good job. They're working with Pensacola Police investigators as well, because we do not believe that these things just happened in one jurisdiction. So while I can't get into all of the details and tell you everything that we know, we do have an understanding or an idea of who the intended target was. I mentioned at the press conference that it is not random. You don't drive in and go past, 10 or 12 apartment complexes, stop at this one particular one, and then just start shooting in. That's not random. So, yeah, we do have some information. We know, we think we know who they were targeting, but we're still trying to piece all this stuff together, and we really need to talk to some of these people.
Are you getting very much cooperation from the residents and or the victims in the shooting?
I would say that from the residents, we are getting some cooperation. The ironic part, for me at least, is I was attending a Crime Stoppers function that night, and I had to leave the Crime Stoppers function early to go by Oakwood Terrace and discuss this. And during my conversation, I was talking about how valuable Crime Stoppers has been for us, and we want to make sure we continue to let people know. All you have to do is call Crime Stoppers. Give us the information. We will do the rest. And again, your name is never used. We won't even ask your name, and you could be eligible for a reward. So we do know, and as you heard me say in the conference, there's no way that someone doesn't recognize these people. There's no way that's possible. I mean, it was in broad daylight, and there were a number of people that were around. And a lot of people, even after that, have heard a lot about what's going on. Word spreads pretty quickly. And I'll tell you this, while we have got some information, there's no way that we got all the information that we could have had. So we're just, again, asking for cooperation. This is these are people's homes.
Yeah.
And we, again, as I mentioned in the conference, we cannot tolerate that type of behavior.
Yeah, and I was really, it's not any kind of surprise. I've known you a long time, and I know where your heart is on this stuff. But, I talked about this a little bit the other day. I think some people have the reaction, well, that's Oakwood Terrace, or that's a housing project, or that's those people. And I'm like, oh, my God, no. Every citizen, especially the poorest and most vulnerable, have a right to feel safe in their persons and on the street anywhere in Escambia County. And I know you guys take that very seriously, and I was glad to hear you talk about that as well. Plus, they came from somewhere else. I mean, they obviously didn't come from inside that housing project. One of the other stories you and I have talked about before, but we did have some follow-up information on it, this shooting that took place between one person and a group of motorcyclists, and you've gotten in, I guess, in custody, Delaney Battle Donson, but now it looks like he was wanted on Georgia charges relating to terroristic threat making. Is that right?
Yeah, this is kind of a long story. We first became aware of him during that incident where he circled back a couple times and ended up firing several rounds into a group of motorcyclists off of 9 Mile Road. A couple days later, we determined who it was. We went to his house, ended up having a SWAT call out because he wouldn't come out. And we ultimately arrested him. After we arrested him, he made bond, and then he went and assaulted some people over at Pensacola Honda in April, a couple days ago. And so we arrested him again on, I think it was 3 counts of assault, and then he has some marijuana on him as well. And then while we were there, we found out that there was a hold on him out of another state, I can't remember, Georgia maybe, and for terroristic threats. Now, I don't know what those terroristic threats are. He was saying some kind of crazy stuff whenever we were in the middle of our SWAT operation, trying to get him out of there. So I have no idea. But it's just a continuing running criminal enterprise for this guy.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder, and you tell me if I'm wrong, and maybe from the point of view of the citizen, it doesn't much matter whether something is more of a Baker Act circumstance or a repeat offender circumstance, but it sounded like maybe this leaned more into the Baker Act direction. Am I reading this wrong?
I would not say that,
okay.
Andrew. We talk a lot about people that need mental health counseling. I'm not saying that he doesn't need some counseling.
Okay.
That's for someone smarter than me to figure it out. But when you're shooting at people in motorcycles and when you're assaulting people at local businesses, our job is to take you to jail. And then they have mental health counselors. They have people that can give him the medication that he may need.
All right, fair enough. We're talking to Chip Simmons. He's the Escambia County Sheriff. Sheriff, hang on for me for just a second. Let's get a quick traffic break in here from Davis Allen.
And back over at the Garcon Point Bridge, northbound direction, slow moving until you get through that light at Garcon Point Road in Avalon. Southbound also showing delays, backed up at that light. Southbound also delayed on Avalon, backed up around San Marino Street and also I-10, I-110, checking in clear, but that's not the case for Highway 29 southbound between 9 Mile and I-10. And speaking of 9 Mile, we're seeing eastbound delays in front of Navy Federal Credit Union. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Davis. Back to Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, we had another event that took place on, Saturday? We had a drive-by on Georgia Avenue. Now, as I understand, nobody was hit, but you guys had kind of an interesting follow-up to that, right?
Yeah, you know, sometimes it doesn't get the airplay that, the shooting at Oakwood Terrace gets. But, yeah, we had a drive-by shooting on Saturday earlier in the day, where an ex-boyfriend allegedly fired at the new boyfriend. Well, we got the information, and our deputies, as I've been telling people, did a great job, found the car with a suspect in it. We tried to stop him, and as criminals do, he tried to flee from us, causing us to, bump him a little bit. And then, so the car was immobilized, and then he and another passenger jumped out of the car. We chase and catch both of them. We ended up chasing down Daryl Hayes, arrested him for the shooting earlier, and we also arrested Frederick Crenshaw. He had a warrant on him. But what I think that is indicative of what we deal with every day, in the car we found 3 cell phones, a handgun, some scales, $5,000 in cash, and listen to this, 6 grams of spice, 220 grams of meth, 12 grams of powder cocaine, 15 grams of crack cocaine, 11 grams of oxycodone, 35 grams of fentanyl, and 178 grams of MDMA. This is a lot of drugs. This guy had scales. This guy had guns. This guy was fleeing from law enforcement. These people are dangerous to our community, and we are not going to just let them flee and get away. Now, we evaluate all of our pursuits, but in case like this where we know he had a gun, we know the suspect used a gun earlier, we're going to do what we can to stop this guy for the protection of the residents of Escambia County.
Wow. Wow. And something that, obviously began with gunfire, but it was a domestic. You know, it was the kind of thing, like you said, with a boyfriend angry about the girl dating a new guy. And we tend to classify that in a different way than we think about, drugs and guns and gangs and that kind of stuff. And it turns out to have been that one as well, which is, wow. So good work for your folks getting him arrested and getting, safely recovering him and getting all that evidence against him. Wow, you're right. I had no idea, but that's an amazing story. Hey, the one thing I wanted to ask you about, we've been talking a lot about this HB1, the anti-riot legislation. The governor signed it into law yesterday. You would be on the front line of enforcing this law. Do you feel like this law gives you tools you don't already have? Do you feel like this law is unnecessary? Is there any, what's kind of your reaction to the fact that this is now the law, or at least it will be here shortly?
I do support the law. I do understand that there are already some laws in place that we could use. But I do think it gives a little more teeth. It gives a number, like a $200 damage for a certain crime. While I've not studied the law, I do think there are some things that will help us. We have not had that problem here in Escambia County where these criminals would be walking down the street and tearing up things and looting. And I don't foresee us having that. But I just think that any law that protects the citizens and the property in the state of Florida is a good law. Again, I'm not saying we didn't have some of these tools earlier. There's no reason to disagree with the law, in my opinion.
Very good. And the last thing I want to ask you, and by the way, it is effect in place right now. It's not a July 1st. It's a take effect upon becoming a law. So the governor signed it, and it's the law right now. Last thing I wanted to ask you, obviously, I know you've been carefully following the selection for the Pensacola police chief. You were the chief. Tommy Leiter was the chief. You're very close, of course, to Kevin Christman, who is a candidate for the job. My one question that I don't think you and I have talked too much about, and forgive me if I've asked you before, but if somebody who's not a part of the force comes in to take over as the chief of police, do you see that as potentially interfering with the very, very tight connection that PPD and Escambia County Sheriff's Office have functioning right now? Are you concerned about that at all?
Matt, I do think that it's a concern. Anytime a new police chief takes over, there's going to be some changes, whether you're an internal candidate or you're an external candidate. That is always a concern, but you don't know that until you actually talk to that individual. You know that I supported Kevin Christman. He has a very good working relationship with the police department, with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. I know the caliber of officer he is, and I'm a little biased because I came from the Pensacola Police Department. When I was selected as a police chief, I was an internal candidate, and my boss was an internal candidate, and the ones that followed me were internal candidates. It seemed to me like they had a really good line of internal candidates, and while I wish that Kevin would have been given the opportunity, that is not my choice. That is the choice of the mayor, and whatever they chooses, whoever he chooses, we will certainly work with them.
Well, spoken like a true professional, which I know everybody in this discussion is. Chip Simmons, he is the Escambia County Sheriff. Sheriff, thanks so much for the time. Thanks for doing what you do to keep our people safe. We certainly appreciate the work.
You bet. Take care.
751 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Good morning, 7:53 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Aren't we all seekers, though? Honestly, aren't we all seekers? Mark Jacobs, I know Mark is a seeker, right?
Depends on what I'm looking for.
Nice. Go on.
Do not travel to 80% of the world. That's what the State Department will officially say later this week. An update adding nearly 130 countries said to be at level 4, joining 34 already on the list, including places like Brazil, Argentina, and Russia. Tributes coming in for former Vice President Walter Mondale. The 93-year-old died of natural causes yesterday. He ran against President Reagan back in 1984 and said this in accepting the Democratic nomination.
Whoever is inaugurated in January, the American people will have to pay Mr. Reagan's bills. The budget will be squeezed. Taxes will go up, and anyone who says they won't is not telling the truth to the American people.
And then, of course, he said this.
Mr. Reagan will raise taxes, and so will I.
And that resulted in large part to one of the most lopsided election losses in history. Mondale only won his home state of Minnesota.
And barely.
Barely.
I think even if he hadn't said that, it was still going to be a landslide, but that didn't help him any.
And as it turned out, he was right.
Yeah, exactly. So, but telling the truth to the American people may not pay off. You never know. Mark, thanks so much for the update. Davis Allen, time now for a quick shot of sports.
Got a little excited there.
Swung that one before I even had a chance to pitch it.
Well, anyways, the San Jose Sharks forward, getting into hockey news, Patrick Marleau. He stands alone on top of the NHL record books for most games played all time. Yesterday, against the Vegas Golden Knights, he played in his 1,768th game in his 23rd season. He started playing with the San Jose Sharks back in 1997. He passed Gordie Howe for most all time. Also, Alex Smith, former number one overall pick, longtime quarterback of the 49ers, Chiefs, and Washington football team. Well, he announced yesterday he is hanging up the cleats at 36 years old. He announced his retirement on a video through Instagram. It's sort of the trend, quarterbacks announcing their retirements through Instagram. I'm Davis Allen with your quick shot of sport.
Something kind of just an unusual thing yesterday. I was at City Hall and I noticed that they were only flying an American flag and at half staff. And so I asked the facilities guy there, I said, you know, hey, where are the other flags? And he said that when they fly at half staff, they only fly the American flag due to the the logistical issue of having the flag at the higher level. And that's something you may not know, that the American flag is not in line with the other flags. The American line is supposed to be higher than all other flags. And so that's kind of interesting. And so I went over to the Bay Center where I had seen all five flags flying earlier on my way downtown. And sure enough, they had all five. but they had the American flag all the way to the left and flying just a little bit higher. In fact, if you look at the pole at the City Hall, the central flag pole there is actually taller by a little bit than the other flags because that one is supposed to be higher than all the other flags. So, you know, cool little stuff to see our facilities managers trying to follow the rules for flag etiquette.